Today's episode of The Morning Stream brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Get 10% off your account after a free trial with no credit card required at squarespace.com using the code MORNING at checkout. That's MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. Build it beautiful.
You know it's the good and the bad.
Yeah, and the ugly. Coming up on TMS, the people can eat rice.
It takes seven.
Golf Heaven orders an Arnold Palmer.
Uh-huh.
I didn't
weekend
come
box
out
office
right.
Results.
Came out totally wrong. Hold on. Golf Heaven orders an Arnold Palmer. That's hard to say.
There you go.
Someone stole that naked Trump thing.
Tossing kids over fences is bad.
And naked Trump things. Major spoilers and more on this episode of Morning Stream. It's my bad.
I want to name her Dottie after my wife. She's a vicious life-sucking from which there is no escape.
Take the sauce.
Oh, shit. Nothing's working today. Here you go.
The sensation of Europe, now made in America by Samsonite. This is The Morning Stream.
Legacy Podcast, everybody. Legacy Podcast. Welcome to The Morning Stream with me, Scott Johnson, and Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson. How are you?
26th of September. I'm doing fine. I showered this morning. I walked the dog. Almost said rocked the dog. I walked the dog. I got a gym appointment later today at 3:30. Sorry, 4:30 because I got Hotline Monday at 3. Busy Monday. I'm going to start this week out with a bang.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I started it with lots of bangs on the weekend. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, I don't even... Is this the right kind of podcast for that kind of discussion?
Now that you mention it, we need to put up an explicit tag.
Many bangs.
Not really, but here's the deal. So I... two things, all right? First of all, this is good because I now know something about Russians and you need to tell the fine folks at home about Russians in a second.
Okay.
But last night... Picture, if you will, a pristine nighttime, okay?
Right,
everyone's
sure.
Sleeping. It's quiet outside.
Sure.
The windows are open because it's letting cool air in, and we're cozy as can be in our beds.
Right. Crickets chirping,
chirping, absolutely. Right. It's fall. It's beautiful. You can kind of hear some of the ducks at the lake way in the distance.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
What a serene scene you're painting for me. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Good, because you're about to see why it got ruined. Because at 3:00 in the morning, and I'm not kidding, we hear two dudes talking very loudly just outside somewhere in the direction of, beep, 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 you guessed it, electric car guy's house. All right. So we hear, you know, the dog pooper man. We hear two guys talking spiritedly about I don't know what. I can't quite make out the words. They're far
enough
away.
Like a happy discussion or arguing or
it was hard to say at first, but I think they were fine.
Okay.
I think it was just spirited conversation, but not like fighting or anything.
Right.
So this is going on. It, of course, wakes Kim and I both up. We're sort of like, what is happening over there? Then we hear this. Oh, I wish I had a sound effect for it. I don't. But here's what I hear.
Oh, no.
Like the loudest, like Harley hog sound you've ever heard in your freaking life. Like, and I mean like the ones where they don't put any mufflers on anything, where all the pipe, there's like six pipes sticking out of it, the loudest bike on the street because that's
right.
How you make up for a tiny penis or whatever. All right. So just this at 3:00 in the freaking morning.
Oh no.
And he's not just leaving. He's revving it over and over for like showing off, for like trying to impress this dude. I don't know what. I know.
Yeah.
I was so freaking mad.
Oh,
so he's
man.
Just,
yeah, hey, Tina would be.
She'd be mad,
livid.
Right? Yeah, we weren't. Kim was livid. I was livid. We were both pretty pissed. And had it gone on one more rev, I was on my way outside. I'm like, guys, 3:00 in the morning, really? Your next door neighbors have two little kids, have school in the morning. They're sleeping in there. On the other side, you have a baby and a little family over there. And then you got us. And my kids have school tomorrow too, you jackasses. And I like to sleep, turns out. I like to sleep just fine.
Jeez.
And guess what? My dog over there doesn't like to howl for nothing. Like you butthole.
Right.
So
yeah. Had his buddy over watching the Chicago-Dallas game on Sunday Night Football and had some beers and decided, oh, let's stay up and play some cornhole in the backyard or something. And then, oh, you could just go home at 3:00 in the morning on your bicycle. No problem.
I love that it's cornhole. That's the best.
Yeah.
So those two are whatever they're doing at three. It's all shady anyway. I've already, you know, I told you, like, when I've seen the guy, first he claims he doesn't have a dog, tells my son-in-law that, and he's like, what? And he's like, well, I don't have him all the time. I'm like, whatever, dude, you're freaking lying. His wife looks scared every time I see her. She looks terrified. There's something going on.
Well, probably from a lack of sleep, too.
Probably. Plus, you know, you can tell there's some kind of car fetish thing going on because he's got this Beamer electric and this Tesla. And I didn't even mention this. He's got some brand new SUV that he's parking on the front of the thing. And he's got some other new car that was in the garage yesterday. So he's just like constantly, he's like one of those guys. He's collecting cars. Speaking of which.
Yeah. Yeah, the neighbor, my neighbors.
Yeah, so at least these are new. Yours are like jalopy stuff, right?
These are all relatively new cars. So these are my Russian neighbors, next door neighbors.
Yeah.
They've got four of them in the house, right?
Yep.
Husband, wife, daughter, son.
Yeah. Too much hassle.
Too much hassle. Yeah. Four people, too much hassle. And, you know, let's buy a new car for the son, you know, or he buys his own new car and blah, blah, blah. But he's going to give his old car to the daughter, to his sister. Really nice gesture there, right?
Sure.
Well, she's already got a car, but it's an older car, so she's going to really like this new car. So now they have a car for the husband, a car for the wife, a car for the son, two cars now for the daughter. And, oh, gosh, we've run out of places to park our car collections, so now we're gonna have to start parking them in front of our house. Well, guess what?
Oh no,
we've already got a car each and a son who has a car, and now we have to like do the whole shuffle thing where, well, Tristan, you've got to park in the driveway now because now there's no place on the street for you to park because of Vladimir and his Jay Leno collection.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, oh, if I want to get out now, I have to wake Tristan up to back his car out, or I have to back his car out, park it somewhere else, pull my car out.
That may sound simple, getting the boy up. It's not. Listen, he's 19. It's hard. It's hard. When they're 19, they just stay in bed. They're like locked in. It's like a magnet.
Right.
They're pulled to the earth.
And did I mention that daughter is off in college, and they didn't allow her to take her car with her, so basically those two cars that she has, they're not getting driven, not getting, you know, dealt with.
What was that conversation like? Dad, I want to take the car to college. Too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
Yeah.
Too much vehicle.
Too much vehicle. Too much hassle for vehicle.
I'm just going to put a note on his car in front of my house that says, too much vehicle. And let's see how that goes. Much vehicle.
Do it like just like that with like singular version of the word and everything.
Right.
Too much vehicle. Too much vehicle. Yeah. So, okay. So in your case, you actually have kind of a clear thing. You can choose to do nothing and just be inconvenienced, or you could go to him and say, dude, we need the room in front of our house.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what to do. Do I go over there and go, hey, what was the guy? He'll just say he didn't know who it was and it wasn't his friend because he already lied about his dog.
Well, and that's the problem because you're reasonably sure it was him, but not. You can't like say, well,
yeah, I don't have proof, but right, I know
that's
it was
the problem.
Him.
You can't go to say, oh, hey, dude, you know, it's perfect time of year for us to have our windows open tonight. We're sleeping, but 3 o'clock in the morning, you and your buddy having a conversation and him like revving his motorcycle. Yeah. Maybe you want to, you know, not do that on a Sunday night when people have work and school the next day.
Yep. I'm getting a camera. That's the bottom line. This is the next stage. I'm going to get a motion controlled camera, Wi-Fi it in, kind of like your door one, but one that's pointed at that dude.
Right.
So next time there's an infraction.
Watch him send his dog over to leave mines in your front yard.
Yep, yeah. I'll have this thing toss little MP4s over here that I can then post on the internet.
Oh, jeez.
Jerkweed. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, there's our story for today. There's our neighbor complaining. This is an old guy problem, guys. This is an adult problem. So all you young 19-year-old hippie hipster men, just look forward to it. You got
that
coming.
But crazy neighbors couldn't have had a greater time yesterday. Crazy neighbor Dave made pizzas yesterday. So they just got back from Mediterranean. They went to Italy and Greece and on a big cruise.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And came back and he's just like, Mr. I'm loving Italian cooking and da 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 da. So we went to an Italian grocery store Saturday and he bought some flour, like specifically it's called long fermentation flour. So it's flour that's intended to proof for 24 hours before you actually use it for pizza or pasta or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
And he made pizza with it yesterday.
What do you put it in to make it ferment? How do you make it?
You just you make the dough, you cover it with saran wrap, and you just let it rise. Either I think in the fridge or on the counter.
Okay.
I think fridge when you do it for 24 hours, counter for 12 hours or less.
Gotcha. I thought it meant like the powder form of the flour would sit in like a bowl of.
Oh no, something. No. Okay. But oh my gosh, the recipe for this says that the flour has to be 72 degrees. The flour itself, like you have to have the flour at 72 degrees and the water has to be 75 degrees when you mix them.
Oh my gosh.
Like that's specific.
That's crazy. Do you think little old Italian women just do this instinctually or they have to?
I don't think they say, okay, I'm going to make the flour now. Let's put it at 72 degrees.
Where is the thermometer? We stick it in the flour.
Exactly. I don't see that happening.
Wow. But that sounds really good to me. Sounds amazing. Right. So now you got crazy, really you got regular crazy neighbor cooking going on. That's good. You want that from your neighbors.
Yes, that's the best.
Yeah. We have a neighbor brings us cookies, but another guy brought us some amazing cornbread the other day.
Nice.
Guy over here, all I get is noise and the dog
poop.
Shit.
Yeah.
And you know, grief.
Right.
Grr. All right. Moving on. Hey, I got an email to share with you that I think
share an email.
A worthy thing. Once in a while, the stuff we say and do on the show, I think it sinks in. It impacts our listeners in ways that are a little
resonates,
bit more.
Right?
Yeah, resonate. There you go. Very good. Like a tuning fork. Like, beer. Right?
Right, right.
So we got this email from Dustin.
Okay.
Who wrote in, not from...
not Dustin Diamond, is it?
No, or the Dustin...
Is it Screech?
Not the Dustin from Stranger Things either.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's that kid cracked me up. Actually, I finished that show. I should tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I binged the entire thing Saturday. I was supposed to be playing video games with my friends.
But, I was supposed to be playing video games. There's a phrase that just doesn't get uttered often enough.
No, not really.
I was supposed to be playing video games. Yeah. Usually, I was supposed to be doing X. But
exactly.
I
ended up playing a bunch of, or I ended up doing a little bit of it last night. But I watched it with Kim, and we couldn't stop. We just tore through it. And we loved every freaking second of it. It was everything everyone said it was. It's really great. Yeah. And, if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. So anyway, here's the deal.
Right.
Got this email from Dustin who says, I love TMS. It's been my daily source of joy since I started a new software development job 5 years ago. This is the same development job that I had, afforded me the opportunity to work from home and be a much more involved dad to my two girls ages 3 and 2. Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Man, I miss having little tiny girls. They were the best. They were the best. Little pigtails running around being dorks.
Yeah.
Oh, I miss it. All right, anyway. Because I can be more flexible with work than my teacher of the year wife, slight brag, he says, mm-hmm. I usually shuttle my oldest to and from preschool and spend time with the youngest one at home. I also take advantage of the home time to cook dinner for my family before my wife gets home because I am domesticated like that. I like this
You're
guy.
Awesome, dude.
This
yeah.
guy sounds like a stud. Today, it was all made worth it, and I had to immediately stop eating dinner to come right to you. All right?
Okay.
For dinner today, I made grilled teriyaki chicken over steamed broccoli and rice. I figured my girls wouldn't want it, but I took a chance anyway. Of course, one taste of the rice and neither wanted any part of it. So I made some PB&J sandwiches. Neither wanted that. They wanted cheese sandwiches. No biggie because I like PB&J. I made cheese sandwiches. Neither wanted that. They wanted pizza.
Oh my gosh. You've got way more patience than I remember having. It's like
me either.
I would have stopped it. Oh, well, yeah. Never mind.
Eat your broccoli, a little,
right, exactly,
you little monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he says, neither wanted that, they wanted pizza. I asked why they would tell me to make cheese sandwiches if they didn't want one. And my oldest said, quote, I don't like your food, unquote. Then it happened and it was glorious. He yells, then you can eat rice! I took the sandwiches, put the bowls of rice back down, put the sandwiches in baggies, and that's when I had said finally, or when I what I had said finally registered with me. I laughed like crazy, which is exactly what my kids and wife thought. I was laughing at being all authoritative. That made my whole day. Thanks, guys. Dustin, I am so glad to hear it manifested in this way.
Nice.
That's an amazing story.
That is fantastic. Also, and it's funny that he didn't even realize he said it until a few minutes later. Like, mm-hmm. you know, after he put the sandwiches in baggies, that's when he's like, oh.
Well, then you can eat rice. Yeah. Oh, shit. The TMS meme that if you're a new listener, you don't even know what we're talking about. Oh, well.
And thank you. And I'm glad that was the phrase that that you used and not, you know, are you prepared
to receive my peenum peenum?
Yeah.
All right. I one final thing here. I wanted to say, I said at the top of the show I'd mention it. I'm going to mention it. Magnificent Seven, I thought was fantastic. Now, I'm going to just say this, preface this by saying we all know, and I will admit wholly, that Scott is a has a big bias towards Westerns. I love them all, even ones that aren't as good. I like them because they're Westerns, and that's enough for me to have extra points. Because I'm a big fan of the genre. I have been since I was a little kid. I freaking love it. And all you have to do is say the words Unforgiven or Silverado or Big Country or anything but Young Guns.
310 to Yuma
is so good. But don't say Young Guns. Not interested. Don't like those movies.
I was going to ask you, like, all right, let's get some examples of ones you didn't like, just so that we know that there are some.
It was Young Guns almost entirely that. I mean, I'll even see things like weird ones like Bone Tomahawk or...
Young Guns was a music video disguised as a Western, really.
Yeah, it was. It had too much, like, Bon Jovi in it. It had too many Brat Packers.
The whole, like, setup was...
They're all kids, basically. I just can't deal with that. It's fine for its day, whatever. People can like it, have it, whatever you want to do. But I'll take Open Range over that. I'll take...
Oh, yeah, Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp.
Oh, that one's a piece of shit. I also wouldn't call it a Western. If it's supposed to be a Western, and I know it is in terms of the time frame... It's a very poorly. It doesn't even feel like a Western. It just feels like a Johnny Depp mistake. It's a bad, bad movie.
Right.
And even the Winklevi twin guy was horribly misused in that movie. That's a piece of crap. Yeah. I took Terpster to that. Poor guy.
Oh, did you really? That's hilarious.
It was two years ago?
Wow.
Nerdtacular. No, last year. Yeah. Which 2015.
Oh, right. It was before Nerdtacular. Yes.
Yeah.
You guys or 2013.
I don't remember which year it was. But anyway, because he skipped 2014 to have the baby. So whatever year it was, he was here and I made him watch that and I felt terrible after because that was a piece of garbage. But yeah, so there's your watermark, right, for what I like or what I don't like. That all being said, Magnificent Seven is awesome. I loved every second of it. It was clear to me. Listen, if you go now, Scott, is it kind of the same formula, very paint by numbers, like a lot like the original, sort of the same story? Yeah, it is. Like straight up, bad guys are two dimensional as shit, and they're totally bad guys, and you know it. Like they're not
because it's a formula that works. I mean, you know, getting a bunch of people together to group together to fight an enemy. It's the best Western trope ever, if it's a trope. You know,
I agree. Guys slowly walking into frame with cool music behind him, just touching his gun, ready to roll. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want good guys who are overly good, and I want bad guys who are overly bad. And I want that's the complexity I'm looking for. And I appreciate the killing of Jesse James by the dickhead Robert Ford or whatever. Those are fine films where they're weird, right? Like where they go a little bit artsy or whatever. That's fine. That's great. Bring me the new takes. I'm not saying I'm opposed to that. What's that one set in Australia? By Hillcote, the director Hillcote guy, and it's got Memento Man in it.
Really?
Really violent. He also directed The Road. I can't think of the name of the movie. Oh, that's a great one. Anyway.
Wow. Oh, I don't know. That's
I'd put it like
Pierce is the
Yeah.
Guy Pierce,
Brosnan.
Ned Kelly?
No. It's like Dirt, Water, Tree.
Yeah, definitely not Quigley Down Under.
No, not Quigley. Although I kind of like Quigley Down Under.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of.
You know what? I say really because I have no idea, but I remember it was a Tom Selleck like Alan Quartermain kind of thing, wasn't it?
It was kind of that, but it was set in the Old West. But it was also set in Australia. And people forget Australia had a lot of Old Westy things happening, like lots of similar time in the 1800s.
Huh.
So I appreciate that stuff. But anyway, the point is.
Yeah.
It's, yes, paint by the numbers. Yes, very formulaic. And yes, predictable. And you know that the Darth Vader guy is Darth Vader. And you know the Luke Skywalker guy is Luke Skywalker.
Sure, sure.
Like, it's absolutely clear to you from the beginning all the way to the end. And it is glorious and a blast. And I had a great time. And the pacing's great. And the action's incredible. And some of those fight scenes were amazing. And if you're looking for a little dark in the fight, you got some of that. This isn't the most, this is not cleansed up PG-13 business, even though it's PG-13. They did not hold back on much of that stuff.
Wow.
There's no nudity, so if you're looking for cowboy boobs, you're not getting them.
I don't want to see any cowboy boobs. Sorry. I saw enough of that with Wilford Brimley. And
Now, I already liked Vincent D'Onofrio for various reasons.
Oh, sure. Kingpin's in this?
Who?
Kingpin?
Yeah, Kingpin's in this.
Nice.
And he plays this trapper character. His name's Jack. And he is amazing in it. Amazing. You forget how versatile that guy is because he's kind of just being normal as Kingpin. He's creepy, but he's being kind of a normal, like he's not affecting a voice or, you know,
sure,
trying to be too out there. But you forget how physical he can be and how interesting he can be. from everything from Full Metal Jacket when he was the crazy private.
God, yeah.
All the way up to like when he was the bug man in Men in Black.
Men in Black.
Yeah, yeah, he's amazing in that. He's so good, and he's great in this. So anyway, everybody's great. Chris Pratt is great. He doesn't over Chris Pratt everything, though. Like, that's one thing I really liked is that he's perfect in the role without feeling like he's filling the screen and eating up every scene.
Sure.
Denzel Washington, great. Everybody's great. Even the no-namers you've never heard of are freaking great. It's great. Go see it. It's great. Don't listen to critics if they don't like it. And that's the biggest complaint I've heard.
Well, it's very predictable, and it just is, it sticks too much to the formula. F off.
You know what? Sometimes you need a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, we don't need everything to be, oh, look what they've done to O'Toole.
They've reimagined it. They've deconstructed the Magnificent Seven and reconstructed it.
Yeah, it's dumb.
With an all-lady cast.
Yeah, we don't need them to do all those things. Although I will say the lady in this, the one that says, I seek righteousness, but I'll take revenge.
Yeah, is it
she's awesome.
Chastain? No, it's not Chastain.
Who but she looks like Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know who she is, though.
Yeah.
I forgot her name. She's great in it. Super cool lady in there. And there's not some contrived BS love story tacked on. In fact, every time Chris Pratt winks at a lady, they scour at him and go somewhere else. Like, it's great. Like, they do break through a lot of those kind of tropes, which is nice.
I might have to see that this weekend, because the other one I'm looking forward to, which is Girl on a Train, isn't for another 2 weeks.
Now, what's Girl on a Train? That's
the new movie written or based on a book by the same person who did Gone Girl.
Oh, right. You like that guy.
Glenn
Ross. Glenn,
what is her name?
Glenn, Scott Glenn.
No, it's a woman.
Oh, Glenn, close. Glenn Gary.
I might have got on the wrong. Jillian Flynn. Jillian Flynn
from X-Files. I love
Jillian
her on X-Files.
Glenn.
Yeah, she was Scully on X-Files. She was wonderful on there.
Right, but it's got your Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Oh, I love Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Even her chin. You don't, but I like it.
Oh, it's not by the same author, Paula Hawkins. Oh, for some reason I thought that Girl on the Train was by the same writer. Okay. Yeah,
didn't all his books have Girl in the thing? Girl did the deal. Girl has a thing. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
What did, Jillian Flynn.
Girl with the girl tattoo.
Girl with the girl tattoo. That's it. Yeah. Dark Places, Sharp Objects. Okay. Yeah. She didn't do Girl on Dark Train. For some reason, I thought she did.
Oh, that sounds like two rough books. Dark Places, Sharp Objects.
Sharp Objects. I hope you don't want to. Hope those aren't in the same, movie.
I call that a middle of the night pee when my kids were into Legos. Dark Places, Sharp Objects.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. That's a Magnificent Seven mini review. I suggest highly people see it if they like Westerns at all. And let me warn you, though, if you don't like them, if that's not your thing, never has been, don't go to this, because this is what this is. Here's your comparisons, Brian. I got the perfect way to do this.
All right. Okay.
You ask somebody, did you like Tombstone? If they say yes, they'll love this.
Cool.
If you like Silverado, you'll love this. If you liked Open Range or any of those kind of modern Westerns from like 84 on, this is one of those, for sure.
Cool.
If you like the old John Ford stuff, maybe not so much. Those are a little slow and talky.
Right.
But if you don't like those, this might be your chicken pie. So come on in, everybody. It's warm. all right. We're going to do...
just might be your chicken pie.
We're going to do something a little different today.
That's right. We're starting a new different thing.
Yeah. And don't get all excited, everybody. Here's how we're going to do this. Brian's going to run the actual contest. I'm going to give you a phone number here in a second. If you're calling early like some are doing now, I'm hanging up on you because we're going to clear the lines before we take any.
That's right.
And we're going to wait 10 seconds to do it because it takes that long for the lag to catch up for people to use the phone number. So all I'm going to say is the number's 801-895-4724. We'll clear the lines before we take these calls. When should we do that? I guess we should do it now.
You can do it now, or I could do the read and or the sponsor.
Yeah, let's
by.
Do that. Stump Daryl, brought to you by.
Brought to you by a brand new episode of Soundography. You can find it over at soundography.com. Me and Hammond Chamberlain dissect Iron Maiden. Yes, 38 albums of Iron Maiden. Oh my God, how did we do this? Why did we do this? Find out about Bruce Dickinson and the boys and on the new episode of Soundography, available right now at soundography.com or subscribe in your favorite podcast app.
Did you run for the hills, run for your lives?
We did. Okay. That's one of my favorite songs by them.
Hammond was on Current Geek this weekend, and he did not seem happy about all that Iron Maiden had.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it was maybe one of the worst things I've ever had to do. I'm like, really?
It's funny because little bits of Iron Maiden, like an album by Iron Maiden, great. Yeah. I love Iron Maiden. Here is all that immersion in Iron Maiden made me realize it's like, oh my God, it's like they are consistent. They are a consistent band, and that is their one of their best assets and also one of their biggest issues.
Yeah, because it all sounds very samey at the end.
Very much, and very, yeah. Very thin production.
For me, it was never as much about the music, although I liked it and I saw them in concert and all that when I was a kid. But my big thing with Iron Maiden was the art. I loved the album covers. I loved that Eddie the Beast stuff.
Right.
You know, I'll bet you can guess. Guess which Iron Maiden album was my favorite based on the artwork. Just take a wild guess.
Oh, it's definitely going to be the one with Eddie climbing out of the ground, right?
Incorrect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Give another shot. Think of the things I love. What would I love?
See, I can't think of all their album covers. Let's see. I'm kind of looking at him now. Now I have to look at him. Is it the one where he's in the padded cell? No. I don't.
Yeah. Nope. Got another one?
Is it the one where he's... I mean, they're all Eddie album covers, yeah, right?
That's the whole idea, right? He's on all yeah. those things, I think.
There's not one where he's like riding a horse in a Western, is there?
Nope. No, but that's not bad. There's no Mad Max one. So that wouldn't be it.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I give up. What
All
is
right,
it?
The answer is Power Slave. The one that was like the big Egyptian one is one of my favorite album covers of all freaking time because not only is it cool in its own right, and I love that whole look and style and motif, but there's little tiny things all over the place that you can see. Like weird things, like strange hidden stuff in the painting. I used to love that stuff.
Yeah, that is so cool. That's a great album cover, too.
All right, I'm clearing the lines.
All right.
801-895-4724. 801-895-4724. First one to get in gets it. Remember, if you've been on in the last, or do we start this fresh?
No, if you've been on in the last 2 weeks, don't bother calling. If you've won in the last 30 days, don't bother calling.
All right, we're going to take this call right here. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Andy from Florida.
Andy from Florida.
Welcome.
That's a new name. Yeah. We haven't had him.
It is.
That's
I'm in the chat. I'm usually widget 33.
Ah, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, cool.
That's cool, man. Thanks for being Johnny on the spot there. We are happy to have you here. Also, happy
first
to
time
have
caller, long time tadpooler.
And I am glad you're a full time caller. Okay, so Brian's going to explain all the changes and the newness that's and right. the prizes. So Brian, what do that's we got?
Right. I'm taking this business over just for the day. All right, so Andy, here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be pulling Daryl on in just a second, and we're going to be asking him a trivia question. The answer to which is a number. Now, Daryl's not expected to get this exactly right. That's okay. We're totally fine with that. As a matter of fact, we want him not to get that right because once he makes his guess, we're going to come to you and ask you whether his guess is high or low of the real actual answer. So you're going to be way more involved than people have been in the past, right?
Yep.
If you are correct in your high-low guess, you can win today a copy of Analog, A Hate Story. With the soundtrack, it's available on Steam. This is another Japanese RPG. I took a look at this morning. It looks really cool. As well as a copy of that classic Robin Williams film that everybody loves. Good morning. No, I'm sorry. It's Popeye.
I love Popeye. Popeye's great.
Hey, it's a Robert Altman film.
It is. So he's got a lot of people in it. And also, it's wrapped like new, like brand new. It's like
oh, Shrinkwrap! You could take it back to Target at this point.
I could, and I'm gonna send it to you with like some stickers and extra crap. So nice. It'll be great if you win.
Awesome.
So there you go. Cool. Brian, should we bring him? Oh, what do we do now? We just bring him
we
in.
We bring in Daryl.
All right, this is all new, so we gotta figure this out.
We've gotten our initial discussion with Andy from Florida, and we're gonna now we bring in Daryl.
Yeah, now we bring in Daryl, make life even harder. And he doesn't know if there's no subject for him to cheat about. There's no previous thinking or any of that stuff. None of that.
No, we
happens.
Just want the first answer that comes out of his mouth. That's all we want.
Woo! Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
We're starting a little late.
I don't give a shit.
But that's okay, because Daryl Skeels is on the line. Daryl, hello.
Hello.
Hello, how's work? You got anybody cowered around talking about stuff? Oh, I had somebody this weekend ask me what you do. Just a physical person I saw, not some internet person.
A physical person?
Someone who listens to the show.
Was Olivia Newton-John?
Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was my brother-in-law who listens to the show. He works out, runs, and rides his bike while listening to TMS. And he goes, what does Daryl do? And I said... it's top secret. He won't even tell us. And he says, really? Not even off air? I said, no, he won't tell us what it is.
No.
So at home, just keep guessing.
It would break his NDA.
Yeah. You can't do that. We don't want you out on the street. That would be bad. Daryl, how's it going?
It's way more fun to speculate as to what Daryl does, right?
Or speculate, right, Daryl?
Speculate. Oh, don't give anything away.
Hey, speaking of which, when's that Spock documentary out? Is that out now?
It's out now, yeah.
It's probably like limited release and we have to wait for it or something, right? Like, not
well, now. You can see it in theaters or you can see it on iTunes.
Oh, iTunes has it? I may get it.
This is the one that was done by his son, right? And kickstarted?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, what's it called? My Dad Spock. Spock is the man. Spock man.
Spockumentary.
Spockumentary. That's it. That's amazing. I don't know what it is. All right, great. Let's move on.
There's a scene from it right there.
There it is. Daryl, by the
spoiler,
way.
Spoiler, that's the ending.
Can you tell me what episode of season two of Mr. Robot you're on? Which episode?
I think I'm on 4 now.
Okay. So have you gotten to the Where's My Adderall episode?
I think so, yeah.
Is that the one where he's digging through the...
He barfs and then he picks out stuff.
That is the worst scene in television history.
Okay.
It is so gross.
That's spoilers. What finally made...
Oh, it's not really a spoiler.
And I'm not talking about spoiling the show for him. I'm talking about spoiling my breakfast.
It was so bad, Brian. You got to catch up, and then when you get to that, you'll go, oh, they undersold me on this. This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Sounds like Trainspotting.
Yeah, it's worse. I think it's worse than Trainspotting. Anyway, there's that. Hey, we have on the line with us a potential winner/loser named Andy from Florida. That sounded bad. I didn't mean that to sound bad.
He's always a winner.
Always a winner with us. He's a new caller, in fact. Andy, Daryl, you're both here. Say hi to each other, I guess. This isn't awkward.
Hello, Andy.
Shake hands.
Shake hands and come out fighting. All right. Brian's going to take it from here. Brian, let's go for it. What do we
got? Daryl, here is your trivia question. Again, the answer is going to be a number. Mm-hmm. Apple. This comes to us from iSwarm, as usual, as you'll be able to tell. Yeah. Nice. What was that?
Yeah, that was weird.
I don't get to complain about things being number questions anymore because they all are.
Nope, exactly. Yeah. They're all
going to be. Now you have to complain. What do you complain about? It's like saying, what's it like? When everyone's perfect, no one is? It's like that. Right.
Yes,
when
everything's exactly.
When everything's a number question, nothing is?
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Google. Apple is known for stacking fat amounts of paper. How much money did Apple make in 2015?
I have no idea.
Just kidding. That wasn't him. That was that was me.
It might as well be.
So you know how this works, right, Daryl? You pick a number, and then he goes over under on you and sees how That's close right. you get.
And I'll tell you this. It's in billions of dollars, so... Just give us a, you know, how many billions of dollars did Apple make in 2015?
Yeah.
iPad Pros.
Daryl, you're like, your phone went really weird right then, and it was funny as crap. I may have to capture that out. That was
It's weird. My phone is laggy today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can tell that it is. That's fine. It's fine. We'll take what we can get. It's fine.
I'll say $221 billion.
Okay. $221 billion.
Did he say billion or million? You said billion, right?
Yeah, billion.
Okay. I said billion. All right. $221 billion is not the correct answer. Andy, is the real answer higher or lower than $221 billion?
I'm having Nerdtacular flashbacks. This is great. This is like Nerdtacular. Okay, go ahead.
What do you mean?
You have a whole thing of these on Nerdtacular that you do, like a string of them, where it's like, that is incorrect. Is it higher or lower? And it reminds me of that. I just had a little flashback. It was like, you're wearing a bad suit and I'm sitting with a microphone in front of me. This is great.
Very good. All right.
Speaking of Nerdtacular, when are you going to get some more information on that?
All right. So here's the latest. You ready? Here's the latest data. We now signed the contract. So indeed, the weekend of the 1st of July is the weekend. So it's signed, sealed, and delivered. It is Snowbird again. And we have big plans coming soon. That's all I got to tell you. So we know dates are not just sort of confirmed. They are now absolutely confirmed. Location confirmed. I'll be there. Confirmed. There's all your confirms.
Confirmed.
And I'll be there.
Yes, and Daryl will be there, and Brian will be there, and I'm hoping a lot of people
buying tickets now.
Yeah. All right. Sweet. Yeah. I know. I wish those were up, but they won't be till a while. But yeah, don't worry.
Buy your airfare now, but don't buy your hotel yet because obviously there'll be some stuff with that as well.
Yeah, we'll save you money for that when we get there. Anyway, all right.
So, Andy, did you say higher or lower?
I said lower.
You said lower. All right. So the real answer is $234 billion is higher.
Oh, it's higher?
It's higher.
Oh, no. I have to play this.
Oh, no.
So you get nothing. Oh, you lose.
It's painful because I really like this guy. He's the nicest person I've ever met from Florida.
Well, in 2 weeks, he can try again.
All right, Andy. We'll have you back. Good luck to you. Daryl, I like this. Andy. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
I like the way this works. This is great because these questions, A, aren't stupid. B, and no offense to Mike, it's not, I mean, they're fun sometimes, but, you know, 5 years of them, we're ready for a new thing. And I like this. Exactly. This is a nice way to do it.
And this involves the listener a lot more than the...
yeah, they're not just passive sit-theres and deciding whether Daryl's dumb or not. You know what I mean? Exactly. So I'm all for this. All right. This has been good.
I'm smart today.
Brian, we should, before we wrap things up with Daryl, we should mention that...
Yeah, you were really close, Daryl. That was a really good guess.
We got some t-shirts! Look at these!
That's right. My box is upstairs, so I can't show them off, but...
Here, Daryl, I'll send you... Well, I don't know if you'll see my video or not, but if you do, I'll hold it up. So I got, got these shirts.
I won't see it.
It says TMS, the morning stream, has a website. It's like the logo, you know, the one with the sun behind the clouds that everyone thinks are boobs. That's that. And they came to us from...
From Jamie Wright. Yeah.
Who works at Wright Printing. She also sent some rad stationery that I'm going to use all the time to write little notes on. She says, here's the TMS shirt for you. Brian has the rest and also one for Daryl. And for prizes. Hope you like it. Ooh, there's a whole box to give away.
That's right. So these will be prizes coming up soon. So if you want one of these rad TMS t-shirts... Then make sure you play. Play the game.
That was really nice of her. Thank you. Thank you for the pens. Super nice. Thank you for everything you sent. You're super sweet, and we love you. And if Daryl could, he'd kiss you on the forehead gently in a fatherly way. All right. Daryl, you're the Trek nerd. You play him on Twitter. and you can find him also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. We're still doing the Google thing, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah? Okay,
sure.
Why not? Hold on. I guess I have a thing for that, right? Don't I play a thing? I do.
You do. You play a thing.
Go. Do Google and...
All right. Do Google Maximus. Googleus Maximus.
There you go.
I think you didn't say Grumpy Cast, but I just did.
Oh, sorry. And the Grumpy Cast. He's on that as well.
Grumpy Cast.
Yeah.
I'm changing things just slightly, at least temporarily.
That's fine.
Okay.
Now it's going to be YouTube, at least for today.
Oh, okay. So wait, a search on YouTube?
YouTube autocomplete?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right.
I have no idea what what these are about, so if you play them, I have no responsibility. Okay. How to hack the blank.
How to hack the blank.
How to hack the blank.
How to hack the...
How to hack the Starbucks menu. Now, I don't see people doing a YouTube video for that, though.
Could be.
The ATM.
Ooh, that I could... Well, maybe they wouldn't legally be able to.
Yeah, that video would get pulled. All right, I'm going to say how to hack the Starbucks menu.
All right, I'm going to say how to hack the iPhone.
Oh, God, that's so good. That's got to be.
Because there's got to be some, like, here's how you do a jailbreak and something like that. Anyway.
And the real number one answer is how to hack the claw machine.
Ah, that's true. Look at that. Is it like the ones at Denny's, right? Or the arcades and stuff? Okay. So here it is. How to hack the claw machine. How to hack the Keymaster game. How to hack Sims Free Play. How to hack the App Store. So I was close.
Yep.
How to hack the Simpsons Tapped Out. How to hack the Wii. How to hack the Play Store. How to hack Wi-Fi password. How to hack Amazon Fire Stick. And finally, how to hack Sims Free Play on Android. A lot of hackers on Android. What's going on over there, guys? Well done. I like that. Actually, you know what? That kind of works for me.
Yeah.
I think do it. Look, there's a whole world of newness today.
Right. Newness.
Good job, Daryl. Have fun.
Gah, gah, gah.
That doesn't change.
Some things change. Some stay the same.
I never change.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
That includes the news brought to you by
Keymailer. Whether you're a casual streamer or a YouTube superstar, Keymailer makes it easy for content creators to request and receive keys for Steam games to showcase on their channels. Go to keymailer.co and sign up
today. Today. Yeah, I like today. Today's good. I've got some news stories for you. Arnold Palmer died. It's hard for me to
such,
say
it's
Arnold
such
Palmer.
Such a hard name to say. Arnold Palmer.
Say it fast. Arnold Palmer.
Ugh. Arnold Palmer. Yeah.
It's hard.
Palmer.
Arnold Palmer. he passed away at the age of 87. That's a good life. That's
a
good long
good
life.
Full life.
He's a 7-time major winner who brought golf to the masses, became the most beloved figure in the game for a very long time. And we can say that again, since Tiger Woods sort of disappointed a lot of people toward the end there. Anyway, right. He died Sunday in Pittsburgh from heart complications. His heart just couldn't take Pittsburgh anymore. that's bad. I'm sure Pittsburgh's great. He was 87. Palmer, a native of Latrobe, Pennsylvania, had been admitted to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, where he was scheduled to have heart surgery Monday. Reaction poured out in from the Arnie's Army. And I guess that's a bunch of an actual fan club. And
his actual fan club, yeah.
Admirers in the world of golf. We loved him with a mythic American joy, said Palmer biographer James Dodson. He represented everything that is great about golf, the friendship, the fellowship, the laughter, the impossibility of golf, the sudden rapture moment that brings you back, spending time doing commercials with O.J. Simpson. Just kidding, I made that up. A moment that you'll never forget. He says, that's Palmer in spades. He is the defining figure in golf. I completely agree, and I really didn't even follow golf when in his heyday, but you knew who he was, and he was renting Hertz rent-a-cars, and he, what else was he doing in the limelight there? He had all kinds of stuff.
At the end there, he was doing a commercial. Wasn't he doing the commercial with Kevin Nealon and Al Unser Jr. for a boner pill? I'm trying to remember. Was it Extends or Viagra or?
Hold on now.
Yeah, we're gonna search for Arnold Palmer. And Kevin Nealon.
Arnold Palmer. Kevin, here it is.
Xarelto.
Xarelto.
Yeah, Xarelto.
All right, chat room. We're gonna take a look here. Here it is, Xarelto.
Brian Vickers is the guy.
I'm Brian Vickers, NASCAR driver.
I'm Kevin Nealon, comedian.
And I'm Arnold Palmer, professional golfer. Know what we have in common?
We talked to our doctors.
Little tiny wieners.
Me? But I had a blood clot on my leg that could have traveled to my lungs.
That's why I took Xarelto, too.
Xarelto has proven to treat and help reduce the risk of DVT and PE blood clots.
Oh,
I took Xarelto for AFib and a regular heartbeat that can lead to a stroke from a blood clot.
So no, okay, so it's not wiener growth.
No. Yeah, I was I was mistaken on that one.
I feel bad.
What do we all have in common?
We've all got our boner back. All right. Anyway, died.
Yeah, blood thinner. Yeah.
Everyone loves him, and he's great. And I am sad to see him go. But you know what? I don't have any weird feelings about Arnold Palmer. I think he's a stud.
Right. Went out with class. Like, there was never an Arnold Palmer scandal.
Nope. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, the closest you come is you accidentally worked with O.J. Simpson on a bunch of commercials.
Well, yeah.
But that's not your fault, and you didn't know he was going to kill somebody.
Exactly.
Because you guys know he did it, right? You know he did it. Is there any... I mean... Legally, I know what happened, but we all know he did it, right?
This just in.
OJ freaking did it.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Weekend box office news, The Magnificent Seven, which I have already gushed about, is number one in the theaters there with $35 million debut. Pretty strong for a Western. Animated offerings, Storks, placed number two with a muted 21.8. I don't think it was marketed all that well.
No.
But I've heard good things about it. I heard it was funny. Yeah. Catwe.
Sure. Any of those could be right, and I have no idea. Catwe.
This movie smells like Catwe. that one opened third, it looks like. Antoine Fuqua's Magnificent Seven galloped to 3,674 theaters. Galloped. Come on, guys. that placed it at number one.
Says that's a chess movie, by the way, Queen of Katwe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That sounds fine. It's one of the top openings of all time for a Western, if you don't count for inflation. That's good. Magnificent Seven benefited from star-studded cast led by Denzel Washington. Solid reviews and an A- cinema score from audiences. Pre-release tracking suggests the movie might hit 40 million... or might have hit 40 million its first weekend, but Westerns are a tough sell. Current record holder for a live-action Western is Cowboys and Aliens, which is 36.4, which is a piece of shit. You wanted to know another Western I don't like? Cowboys and Aliens is bad.
Sure, yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Back to the Future 3, though, good.
Yeah, no, no. See, it could have been good. This isn't the problem. It's just
I know, poor. I know. I'm just...
it gets a couple of extra points for being in the West, but that's it.
Right.
Let's see. Including animated offerings, Rango is the current champ at 38.1. That is a great movie.
It is a great movie. That's funny, though. I mean, obviously it'd be...
it's a big-time Western.
It'd be Western, but yeah, it's not one you immediately think of when you get to... you get to your list of Westerns, Rango is not the first thing you think of.
Not always, but it's good. It's my favorite Johnny Depp movie, and he's sort of just a voice. He's not just sort of just a voice. He is just a voice.
Yeah.
Overseas, Fuqua's film. That's Antoine Fuqua, the director. Mm-hmm. Road to 19.2 million. Oh, by the way, if you're a fan of Training Day, which Fuqua also directed and also had Denzel Washington and other guy. Can't think of his name. What's wrong with me? Who's the other guy I'm training?
Oh,
it's.
Jeez.
It's Gattaca Man.
Right.
Stand on the table, Captain My Captain.
I cannot remember his name.
Ethan Hawke.
There we go. Thank you.
About Ethan a boy, that guy. Anyway, he's in it, and he's also in Training Day, obviously. And there's a moment in this that makes you feel like everything from Training Day that got so dark is it's all okay now. Like there's a little moment of reconciliation despite I mean, like I realize they're not the same characters or anything, but it's impossible to ignore it.
Right. Oh, that's funny.
You just can't help it. Anyway. Oh my gosh, I loved it. Movie, let's see, it's doing okay, although only 19.2 million in 63 markets for foreign movies, but Westerns don't do very well outside the US. Bridget Jones' Baby topped the foreign weekend chart at 21.9. Brian, you're still clamoring to get to see that.
Can't wait. Yeah. I can't buy enough pre tickets on Fandango.
Yeah. Every day he's over there buying a new ticket. We've got a problem. We need to have an intervention.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Real problem. All right, here's a story you'll like. Remember that naked, gross, disgusting New York statue?
Yes.
Of Trump?
Yes.
Someone stole it. According to
I want to know what they're doing with it.
I do too.
They've got to like have grabbed it and thought, oh, this is hilarious. And then they get home. It's like, wow, this is really the worst idea I've ever had.
I hope he's making sweet romantic love to it. So, according to the police report, a witness told police he saw the suspect. Well, that's a dumb sentence. According to the police report, a witness told police. Yeah. Anyway, that he saw.
Oh, was it just, you know, happen chance they were meeting in a bar?
I don't know.
It was on a police report. You don't say. Thanks.
A witness told the police, turns out, that he saw the suspect walking on the roof of the business. The suspect then removed the statue and dropped it to the back of a pickup truck with a Florida tag. Of course! that was parked in front of the business. The witness was able to capture a picture of the truck while it was driving away. The witness added that the suspect was the driver of the truck. Authorities conducted a record check on the tag number, which identified Rodriguez, so Bender. Bender Rodriguez, as the truck's registered owner. The witness acknowledged that Rodriguez is the witness saw taking the statue. Anyway, guy took the nude statue, and we don't know what he's doing with it.
He's going to throw it over the wall.
He totally is. Maybe he's, I don't know, watch tonight. Maybe something's going to happen during their debates.
I'm looking forward to the deal tonight. It's funny because they were talking about it on the news, obviously, and they did a poll on the local news website saying, will you be watching? And a majority of the people who responded to the poll said that they won't be watching, which blows my mind. I mean, this is like, you know, whether you've already made up your mind or not, this is an important, you know, an important debate.
You know what it is? It's the I feel the way they do. I'm going to watch it because I think it's important, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that is very repelled by it. I really, really don't want to see this degrade any further than it has. Like, that's what I'm worried about. It's already a shit show.
Yeah.
We're already calling names. Everybody's a piece of garbage on Twitter. It just sucks. And I don't want it to suck worse. I want there to be some decorum. I want there to be some professionalism.
That's what it is. I mean, it's not that people don't want to see two people each show their platform and the things that they want to bring to this country and what they want to do. It's the fact that we know it's going to devolve into name calling and childish retorts and stuff like that. So
it's like Married with Children come to life. I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally you have an audience that might go, ooh, if somebody says something. Like, I don't want to go to junior high tonight. I want to see a real debate. about actual issues and not some shit show. That's
over the weekend. I want to say it was CNN or one of the news channels was showing old debates. Like they showed the Reagan Carter debate, and we were just transfixed by that on Friday night, just watching that, or Saturday night.
That stuff's interesting.
It was really interesting.
Did they show any of the because it's a anniversary of sorts of the Kennedy. Kennedy Nixon one where Nixon sat like he had a stick up his butt the whole time.
Yeah, they did show. I think they showed that one. We didn't watch that one though.
They it's the same. I think the same venue as those where those two.
Oh, really?
I think that's the big deal. Is that? Huh. And somehow that feels dirty because
I know, right? Because
I don't know. Because that was a monumental debate. That was an important debate. One of the first televised debates. Yeah. It was like a big deal. Go read about that debate. It's really interesting. People on the radio thought Nixon won. People on TV thought Kennedy creamed him, and it was all about who sweated the most and who looked the most uncomfortable and versus what you were actually saying. Like, that's super interesting political science stuff. But tonight, I'm getting Hillary Clinton and freaking Chode Chucker Jim Bob Trump.
Two people that we really feel like we've heard enough of, right? Enough
from. I
don't
like either one of them. I just don't like them. All right, anyway. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'm going to watch it because that's important to do. I'm just telling you, I think I understand why they're repelled. I think I get it.
Yeah, it's just...
it's a bummer.
Repelled or not, this is what we're stuck with. These are the two. These are the two we've got to choose from. So
I asked this question to somebody yesterday, and I didn't realize how it worked. But if, let's say that... I don't want to use a morbid example. My example yesterday is, what if Trump got sued suddenly by someone who claimed something horrible? Actually, somebody is suing him. We don't have to get into that, but... Sure. But, and or Hillary had something come out that totally was like, oh, turns out she emailed Putin every weekend and told him all kinds of stuff, whatever.
Right.
If it got bad enough for both sides and they both had to drop out, or a meteor hit both their cars on their way in and they were gone, what do you do? Do you second place
it? Lester Holt spontaneously combusts and takes out the entire...
That's it for the CBN or NBC Evening News.
And now I'm moving my upper lip. Oh, no.
No, shit. You didn't know I had one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they'd probably pull in the.
I think the parties choose, right? They get to pick.
I think so too. Yeah.
So, do they go with their president, their vice presidential picks? Is it that suddenly a Pence?
Oh, right.
Is the other guy
Pence Kane?
Pence Kane, or is it?
Or is it Bernie and
Bernie Cruz?
Cruz. Oh, jeez.
I'll tell you right now, I'd vote for Bernie up and down over Cruz.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cruz is a freaking coward, man. He made fun of your wife, said that she was a fat pig and thought your wife was a horrible cow, and you're still going to back him? You're an a-hole. You're an a-hole.
Right.
Ted Cruz. Yeah. Cruz. But what do we expect him to do? We did all think he wasn't going to... You know what? Here's what I do, Brian. If I was a big politician guy, this is all about his career. Because if it wasn't, you just go quietly vote for who you're going to vote for. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to endorse anyone.
Right.
This is about your career, you jackass. Don't make it sound like you're doing some... noble. High, mighty, noble thing.
Right. Yeah.
Frick. Anyway, check this story out.
All right.
Naked man.
Oh, no.
Tossed infant over an 8-foot fence.
Oh, my God.
According to a
8-foot fence. Jeez.
Yeah, Florida guy, too, again. A Longwood man was arrested Thursday after. Longwood's a horrible name.
especially if you're naked.
there's old Longwood again. Was arrested Thursday after police said he threw an infant over an 8-foot-tall fence. Jeez Louise. When officers responded about 7 p.m. Thursday, they found a man sitting on the ground without clothes outside of his home in Telmo Street, just north of State Road 434 and east of U.S. Highway, blah, 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 who cares? Neighbors had called 911 dispatchers and reported the man. His name is Richard Harris. He's 31. He was running around naked with an infant in his arms, but when police arrived, the infant was nowhere to be seen. Officers found the 4-month-old child and discovered Harris had hurdled the infant over a privacy fence. Privacy fence. I don't like that. I like that name for some reason. Privacy fence.
Well, 8 feet. That's privacy.
This is according to Lieutenant Clint Gioielli.
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 Lots of I's in that name.
Yeah. Gioielli.
Yeah.
You cannot buy any more vowels. You have to solve
right, I'm kidding. Yeah.
An officer asked Harris what was going on. He replied, yelling random words and phrases, along with throwing handfuls of grass and dirt at the police. Record show. Harris then jumped up, yelled at the officer, and pushed him several times. Tase him. Jeez. Tase that weirdo. By the way, we should tase more.
Especially this guy.
Less shootings, more tasing.
Throwing a baby, tase.
I feel like we
need
more.
And that's the best thing that should happen to him.
True. But just generally speaking, tase first, shoot last. Let's shoot later.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Well,
let's tase more.
And maybe a little, you know, talk, analyze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how Tasemore is doing these days. He was had a drug problem. Remember
Tasemore?
Tasemore, remember him?
Well, he had that TV show that Breaking Tasemore.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He was good in Shaving Ryan's Privates. All right, time for a brief break and some talk about a sponsor, and we'll be right back. Building websites by yourself is hard. Or it can be. I mean, there are a lot of people who know what they're doing, right? You can build all kinds of cool stuff with all the, you know, the prowess and training you need. But for some of us, we just need to get out there and get something made. We need to start selling the stuff we have or getting our thoughts on a page so people can go there. We need a landing spot for those who are coming to find out what we're all about. And we need to do it quick. But we need it to be professional anyway. Well, how do you reconcile all that? It's a little tricky, right? Simple. Go to squarespace.com and get a free trial. 14 days for free without a credit card required. They just want you to try it. They're that confident you're going to like it. They're not going to try to take your card, charge it when you weren't watching. Oh, shoot, I forgot I signed up for that. No. They don't work that way. Give it a shot, though. You get all the tools and templates you need during that trial. All of it's available. And you build a great website and you say to yourself, man, I want to keep this website. How do I do it? Well, you sign up, but before you do, use the code MORNING. Use that at checkout. That gets you 10% off. So let's start off by saving you a little money. Again, 10% off at squarespace.com with the code MORNING. That's Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Indie.
Yes. And I have a listener to thank for this one as well. Although it's funny, I got the email from the label, and big thanks to, I want to make sure I get the band correct. I'm not the band, the label. Yellow Year Records. Big thanks to Yellow Year Records for setting me up with the album on this. But also big thanks to TMS listener Dennis Supachana, who actually reached out to the band as well and said, hey, love your song, would love to get you on TMS. And they responded in the affirmative. And again, I get a screenshot of the Facebook discussion, which I think is the best way, because you reach out to these people via Facebook Messenger and have the conversation with them. There's not, you know, sure, it's not like you can include me in that conversation all of a sudden.
Right.
So thank you, Dennis, and thank you to Yellow Year Records. This is a band called Tella Novella. Their brand new album, House of Souls, just came out on Friday, and it is excellent. It is very, very good. Not only should you listen to this song and enjoy it, which you will, but you should also seek out the video. I should have given you a link to show the video, because it is a pop culture geek dream come true party with Carl Sagan, green Star Wars aliens, the band. One of the guys in the band looks like Carl Sagan, so they really just took it upon themselves to dress him up like Carl Sagan and make him make him look like it. The band is Telenovela. The song is Heavy Balloon, and it comes out came out Friday on their brand new album, House of Souls. Here is Telenovela.
If you wiener is even smaller in person.
Bombaduke.
I am not a robot. I am a unicorn. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back, and you have a new fan of that band. That's awesome.
A few of them, yeah.
You know what that reminds me of?
Who's that?
Lots of bands, but it reminds me of like early 10,000 Maniacs. It reminds me of like the Sundays.
Yes, yep, I can see that too.
A little bit like the ones I couldn't remember before and now can't remember again, the Scottish band. I just love that thing, though, whatever that is. It's almost like French a genre.
Yeah.
It's like a little subgenre that I don't have a name for, but I love it.
Right. No, it's great stuff. That again, the band is Telenovela, and the song is Heavy Balloon, and the brand new album, House of Souls, just came out Friday.
Or as my sister would say, Heavy Balloon.
Heavy Balloon.
She never said balloon. She always said balloon. Yeah, wow. Balloon, like balloon. B-L-O-O-N, balloon.
Balloon.
Balloon. hey, we're back, and Steven Schleicher's in the wings. Waiting.
Excellent. Well, let's pull him in.
Yeah. No more of this.
Before he eats all the food in the green room. Jeez, that's for everybody.
I know. Steven, easy on the dip, buddy. Take it easy with the dip. Okay. We're calling him. We got a little thing here. Here's this. Steven P. Schleicher III on the line. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
There's no Hello. P, right? What's the middle name? What's the initial?
F.
Frank. Steven Frank.
Franklin.
Frank is the closest, yes. We've gone over this like several times.
Have we really?
Yeah.
I don't remember this at all. I really don't. Did we really talk about your middle name? I think I do that with a lot of people, and I guess it's all meddled. It's all together now.
Yeah, I know we've done it with Tom Merritt, too. Yeah.
So wait, what is it again? It's F. So is it Franklin?
It's a long form of Frank. My uncle's name is Francis. So
Francis, like my mother-in-law. Yeah. That's right. We did talk about this.
Yep.
Okay. Or what? Stripes. Remember Stripes?
Yeah, Lighten Up Francis.
Lighten Up Francis. I'm sure you never got any of that crap when you were a kid.
No, because I didn't tell people my middle name.
Oh, well, now they all know. So you guys know what to say to Steven when you see him next. Maybe that'll be Nerdtacular 2017. I don't know.
Maybe. We'll see.
Steven, it's good to have you here. Major spoilers always on the tip of our fingers and tongues. wow, we're always nice. Interested in what's happening over there because it's part of our pop culture lifestyle. Before we talk about any of that, though, is there any of this? Anything this week?
So for the longest time, James Garner, this happened in about the late 70s going into the early 80s, right about the time that the Rockford Files went off the air initially. I think this is like 83, something like that.
Yeah.
James Garner sued Universal because he's like, look, guys, you owe me all this money. And through this creative accounting that you've done, I'm not getting like, I think they owed him like 37% of all profits from the TV series.
Yeah.
And apparently, according to Garner, Universal had made something like by this time, $123 million off of that show. And so he took them to court and they settled out of court and but they couldn't disclose, what the final amount was. Some people estimated somewhere around $14 million that he got on the amount of money that they owed. But while they were interviewing him on the steps, his wife kept saying, Jim, would you quit? Would you wipe that grin off your face? You're gloating because of he had won this case and Universal didn't want to win it. Mm. So it opened up this idea that Hollywood does a lot of these creative accounting practices to keep payments from specific people. I mean, even today, Return of the Jedi has yet to make is yet to be profitable, yet to go in the black because of this creative accounting that goes on. Mm. Again, there was a time, and I believe this was like in 2000, something like that. Garner went back and said, look, you guys still haven't paid me everything. And until you do, you'll never get Rockford released into home media. Mm. And so, again, I couldn't find anything exact on anything that worked it out. But interestingly, right around 2003, 2004, we start to get the yearly release of the seasons on DVD. And then, of course, everybody went away happy. Like a year after Garner died in 2014 and 2015, that's when we got this massive entire collection release of the Rockford Files on DVD and streaming media and all these other things.
Can I go right now and get all of it somewhere?
Yeah, it's on Netflix, streaming on Netflix.
Okay.
And you can go and buy it on DVD. I don't think you can get it in Blu-ray because why would you want to have an SD show upgraded into Blu-ray?
I completely agree. Yeah.
because of the making of.
I mean, they could do remaster from original film or something. I don't know.
They could, but it would still be 4:3.
Oh, right.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. Because they didn't, so that's what is interesting about the X-Files here recently. Mm-hmm. It's all widescreen, 16:9, which is nice. And I thought to myself, no, wait a minute. This stuff aired originally 4:3.
That's right. That means they're chopping off the top and bottom.
Well, no, the claim is they have the masters and they remastered it.
Yeah, so. in some cases, a lot of shows in the late 90s were forward thinking and were like, hey, man, we might as well start shooting in this high definition if we can. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of X-Files, it's probably shot on film.
Yeah, they did 35mm
film. Let's shoot it on film, and then that way we can future-proof it for when and if the government ever decides to go ahead with this HD streaming.
Yeah, if you start in, you know, cinema-style film for your show, you can and you keep it in good shape.
Right.
Your masters can, you know, you can go whatever you want to do. But I think that's what they did. But
yeah. To jump off into another topic, this is why it's so important for people to help the Film Preservation Society and the government as preservation of film, because there are films that have literally fallen apart in vaults because they don't take care of them. There have been entire sequences lost to history because we're not able to preserve that film. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that we keep track of this. And if we can remaster stuff, great. But really the preservation of stuff that's just sitting around in somebody's sweaty closet is not doing anything good for future film.
Yeah. Well, so look at you spearheading the Rockford Files Preservation Society.
Oh man, I wish we had that stuff in HD, because I was looking last night and I was like, I could have swore this was Blu-ray. And then I was like, nope, the only thing that's been released is just regular DVD, and then you can watch it again on Netflix streaming there. So,
well, there you go.
Next week, how about some hints about the James Garner, Jim Rockford connection, how these two are connected both in real life and in the show.
I love it.
Whoa, yeah.
That takes this week's James Garner update. All right, Steven, let's get to the core of the thing here. By the way, Haley Bennett, who was, I was doing a little research while we were talking. People are asking about the girl who was in this Magnificent Seven movie. Her name is Haley Bennett. She looks a lot like Jennifer Lawrence. She has her eyes, basically. And she is real good in this, and I hope this is a huge star-making moment for her, because she was great.
Oh, in which movie?
Magnificent Seven.
Magnificent Seven. Oh, okay.
You should see that, because
I would. I was out of town with a soccer tournament this week, so it'll be a couple of weeks before I'm able to see it.
Denzel, his character, Sam... Beckett? Sam...
Wilson?
No. You're doing me like
Neil?
I did Ryan.
Sam Neill?
Yeah, Sam Neill. His character, Sam Neill... taught us how velociraptors will tear you apart if you're not careful. No, he was from Wichita, Kansas, and that's where he was a lawman from. Yeah. So it reminded me of you. Yeah.
At some point in the future, after we're done with Rockford, I'll tell you about the secret history of the West of Kansas.
Ooh, all right.
And especially here in Hayes. I'll give you some history of Hayes.
I'm sure there's...
Well, you know, Hayes was founded by Buffalo Bill Cody.
No way.
No, I'm sorry. Wild Bill Hickok. Wild Bill Hickok.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's great.
The original site, the Rome site, was founded by Hickok and another guy. It was a money venture because they knew the railroad was coming through, and it was just close enough to the fort that they would build the town here. And it's literally about 3 miles away from here.
Wow!
And turns out they built it in such a way that they were kind of surrounded by this place called Big Creek, which is a local river. And some other guys decided that we're not going to pay these guys to put a railway station at their location. We'll just move it a couple of miles up the road and make that the train station. Mm-hmm. Totally screwed out the original Hayes site, because now nobody could drop off materials into this location. Mm. And then a year later, there was a massive flood, and everyone's like, well, we're just picking up this entire little compound, this entire town, and we're moving it over to where the train station is, couple of miles away. So,
yeah, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know you're getting that, everybody.
There's the Deadwood connection too.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
Here's some music for it. I feel better already. All right, Steven.
Yes.
Tell us about Dot to Dot. What the hell is that?
So you guys know about these adult coloring books. I think we've talked about these.
The new craze, yes.
Maybe it's the old craze, right? Because my 90-plus-year-old aunt was in the hospital recently, and to cheer her up and to give her something to do, they gave her some adult coloring books to color. And these were
every time I hear the phrase adult coloring books, it makes me, it's Brian like, goes, be like coloring porn.
Yeah, Brian goes porn.
Well, in this case, because my aunt is, you know, she's pretty open-minded about stuff. It was a swear words coloring book.
Oh, so even better. Okay, how you good. Color, you so it really find, was an adult coloring book.
These swear words.
Yeah. Okay.
But to get into the next craze, Marvel is releasing, or in conjunction with this book company, 1,000 dot-to-dot books. So instead of coloring, now you can connect the dots. This may be for people that may have obsessive-compulsive disorder of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because you have 1,000. But the detail in these images, once you have completed them, are pretty cool. And then, of course, once you've connected the dots, you can color.
Yeah, so, it's interesting to see that stuff take off. I was at a Barnes & Noble the other day, and they had racks of the stuff.
Oh, of the coloring book stuff?
Yeah.
The dot-to-dot or the coloring
books for adults. People, not necessarily adult ones, but ones that are, you know, intricate patterns or whatever. My wife loves these things. She loves to sit and color one of those.
It's a way to focus.
I tried, and the focus part is true. It's absolutely true. But I hate coloring other artwork. I want to color mine. So I think I'm already doing it just by drawing my own stuff, so I don't count. But but it's a big deal. I mean, that's partly why we put out that Extra Life coloring book for that very reason. It's not quite the, you know, level of these things by any means, but it seemed to scratch an itch for a bunch of people. So yeah, it's the thing. We're all going back to our childhood, man. You know why? Because debates like tonight are scary as shit, and we all want to be kids again.
we need to sit on the chair with our PB&J with a crust cut off and do some coloring, some dot to dot.
Yeah, hurry up, Scott. Freaking He-Man's on in half an hour. Okay, Dad, thanks. Can I play Galaxian when I'm done? Sure, son.
Do you get the feeling? I mean, I don't know how this is going to turn out tonight. I expect some kind of mess. But do you think that no matter what Hillary does, it's going to be like that scene from the Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they're trying to have a conversation with the French guy up in the tower, and he's like, I fought in your general direction.
Probably. I mean, that's my whole problem is I'm expecting that kind of thing.
Right.
Where it's going to devolve into like name-call-y BS, and it's just I'm not. And look, I think Hillary partakes in it too. Everybody, that's the problem.
Sure,
that's the problem. She's lowering herself to this weird level.
Yeah.
Ugh. Mitt Romney, save us! Save us, Mitt Romney. You're our only hope. Your name rhymes with tit. Okay. Anyway, let's keep moving down this road. DC Comics and IDW Publishing unite to support Orlando Pulse nightclub tragedies. How are they doing that?
So they're publishing this great anthology that is collecting like 100 tales done by 100 different creators. It's called Love is Love. And all of the money is like $9.99 for 100 short stories. I'm sorry, like 200 writers and artists, so 100 each on each side. And so they're collecting these stories into this one volume, either one or two page short stories. And the proceeds are going to go to victims of the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting tragedy. So I think this is a really cool thing. I think people might want to check it out. Fans of the show who've been listening for a long time know Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson. They actually have a one-page story in this volume coming up. And I think it's going to a good cause. And if people want to go check it out, they should ask their LCS, their local comic shop, to order it for them. The cutoff, I believe, is October 16th, I want to say. So people need to let their local comic shop know if they want to pick this up. It's only $10 for 100 stories written by creators like Mark and Draco. I believe Gail Simone's involved, Jason Latour, James Asmus, Ming Doyle. The list just goes on and on and on. Patton Oswalt.
Damon Lindelof. Yeah,
Patton Oswalt is contributing to this. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Super cool project. Also, Ashley's great. I'm her space dad. Don't forget.
Yeah. So now you're obligated.
Yeah, I have to. I'm her space dad. Yes. Space dads are obligated. New York Comic Con coming Thursday, October 6th through the 9th. That is right around the effing corner, man.
That is right around the corner. And if people are in the area, they might want to check it out. It's the third or fourth largest comic convention right now. It used to be the second largest after San Diego Comic Con, but after Salt Lake and Dragon Con and some of these others that have sprung up over the last couple of years, it's still kind of a big deal, even though most of the publishers have left the New York area.
Yeah, that's interesting. I keep forgetting DC completely uprooted and left. They're all in LA now, right?
Yeah, and there's so many publishers that are West Coast. I mean, you've got Dark Horse, you've got Image, you've got IDW Publishing. They're all West Coast publishers. So I think it's Marvel is still in New York, and I think Zenoscope and maybe Dynamite are still in the New York area. There's probably a few more.
Everybody wants that Comic-Con scratch, baby. They just all don't care where people are. They're just going to bring the people to it, and it seems to work. New York Comic-Con continues to be, what, second or third every year?
Yeah. It's a big one. It really is a big one, depending on how much they bring in. And, of course, they're starting to release the guests and the special events that are going on. So if you're into TV, movies, comic books, pop culture, be on the lookout for New York Comic Con coming up in 10 days.
Did you, by chance, you don't know any numbers for the Salt Lake Comic Con numbers?
I don't. I didn't see anything this year.
I'm curious because I heard it was easier to get around, and I can't tell if that's because they expanded.
That's because they wanted a bigger space this year.
Yeah, they did. They expanded what they did, and I think that may have helped. But
that's what we've also heard for a number of different conventions. Dragon Con was the same way, where they kind of worked with the flow a little bit to make it easier to move around so it didn't feel as crowded in years before.
Yeah.
But numbers seem to indicate for some of these other shows, Long Beach Comic Con was the same way a couple weeks ago, that they've opened up space and more people are attending.
Yeah, I like that. Open space. Don't give us, don't make it so I got to know what the next guy next to me had for breakfast or didn't brush his teeth or whatever. Give me some room. I need some elbow room.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is some fine business across the board. Anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
You've been talking about Westerns all day, Scott. I'm sure you've seen all of these, but the last month on Zach on Film, we've taken a look at four quote-unquote cowboy films from 1969 that give you a really great take on what was going on in America at the time. So we start off with The Wild Bunch.
Oh, so good.
Then we follow that up with Midnight Cowboy. You might be going, well, how the hell is that a Western? Well, if you've seen the movie, well, it's got cowboy in the title, but there's some things about masculinity and what does it mean, you know, the lead character, what's his name? Joe Buck.
John Voight. Yeah,
yeah, John Voight. Yeah. He mirrors himself on Paul Newman and John Wayne and all these cowboy guys. So it's kind of a look at that. We also look at...
And it's X-rated, too.
It is. The only movie that has ever won an Oscar that's been X-rated.
Right. And doesn't need to be X-rated.
No. In fact, I think it was just like 2 or 3 years later, the Academy reviewed it and said, you know what? This is really should be an R-rated film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then we take a look at Easy Rider. And you're like, again, why is this a cowboy film? Well, there's this great little thing where they compare people riding around on horses with what they're doing on the motorcycles and trying to discover America. So there's that theme there. And then we look at Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And then we wrap things up with Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, another fine film.
Wow. Yeah. All in 1969? All those
all released in 1969. Oh, and the one movie that we haven't reviewed from the 1969 is True Grit, which also came out that year.
Oh, so, wow. I believe that 69 was the year I was. That's why, Brian, I was born in 69.
Yes, right.
I was born amidst the greatest explosion of Sam Peckinpah, John Ford, and whoever movies ever made.
Well,
Sergio
I wasn't,
Leone.
So why don't I like it more?
Because you're weird. No, I don't know why. But that's great. I'm interested in all of that. I'm going to have to give that
all. It's really interesting, especially with Wild Bunch, because you're looking at a film where Peckinpah specifically says people want to know what it's like to be shot. People are always playing these cowboy and Indian things where people are getting shot and they grab their chest and fall over. I want to make a film that really shows the carnage that happens when someone gets killed.
Yeah,
and so
Peckinpah
Wild
was
Bunch was,
awesome.
Was really interesting.
Yeah, his movie and still considered by many to be the like example, like the one you esteem to in terms of raw Western action.
Might argue that Hateful Eight might have topped that a little bit,
maybe
in the violence department,
but so much of Hateful Eight is an homage to the stuff that Tarantino loved, like The Wild Bunch. He still says his favorite movie of all time is that John Wayne movie, not Wagons West, what's it called,
Rooster Cogburn?
No, not that one. I don't remember the name of the Western. Something Rio. No.
Rio Grande?
No. Something. Anyway, you could find it somewhere. But it's interesting because it's almost like kind of a real softy kind of old Western. Not Stagecoats. Not Red Wagon. I don't remember.
The Shootist?
No, not The Shootist. Something else. Shit. I don't know. I don't remember.
I can't help you.
I know. all right, Stephen. Always, what's the word? A pleasure. And we would like to have you back next week to do this all over again. Don't forget majorspoilers.com. All this sort of stuff is there. And, of course, majorspoilers on Twitter. Have fun.
Bye,
stay
guys.
Care. Stay care is what I said. Stay care.
See you, Steven.
Stay care, Steven. Stay care.
Stay care. Stay care.
Brian, we need an update on the 32nd Film Festival.
So the submissions closed on Thursday. We have our lineup of movies we're going to be watching, our 32nd Film Festival, and we will be announcing the winner on Thursday. Big, big prize package that I really should have divulged earlier to, you know, get a few more entries. But guess what? Here's the cool thing.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about it. We're going to do this thing monthly. So there's going to be... October 1st or really October 3rd when we come back from this weekend, We're going to announce the next 30-second film festival. We'll be doing this just over and over and over. So if you felt like you knew about this last one too late or didn't know what the prizes were and didn't want to try or anything like that, guess what? You are in luck because you'll get a chance to do this every month.
Yeah, plus this lowers expectations a little. It's like we do it on the regular. This can be you, a camera phone, a little music in 30
totally.
Seconds.
Totally. It doesn't have to be a big old production.
No, it doesn't have to be a bunch of special effects and animation or something.
Exactly. Content is what we're looking at, not necessarily like, you know, who's got the biggest budget.
Yeah, right? We don't care about that. So Bill Duran, sorry, buddy. You're not going to be able to blow everyone out of the water. Plus, you're an employee. You can't do it. You're not allowed. Not really an employee.
So, but, yeah. So 30-second film festival winner announced Thursday, and Monday we'll announce a new contest and what it should be. I'm thinking, this is just me going out on a limb, I'm thinking it's going to be Halloween related.
Yeah, but, Halloween!
Yeah.
I love Halloween, so come on back for that. Hooray for Hollywood. All right. Brian, we're done for the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we're done with this for the day.
We're done with the show for the day.
You and me got lots of other stuff we're each individually doing.
Plenty to do. Lots to see.
Just trying to sneak in a world quest at some point.
Oh, I love world quests. They're so good. I really do love them.
They are. You were doing Mythics last night, right? I tuned into Discord and saw...
We tried.
Dungeon 3 was filled up with the heavy hitters in the raid group.
We tried. The problem is, if you're not like 840 or higher, you're kind of screwed. Yeah. For you can try, but you're not going to live. So we did heroics, and was still challenging. We still had a good time in there. A couple of us got upgrades. It went good. Yeah, cool. I'll tell you something. There's the dungeon that blows my mind every time I do it. I've done it like six times now. Is the Halls of Valor?
Oh yeah,
unbelievable.
We
that
did that
day.
On normal last night too. It is so gorgeous and so
it's beautiful.
So well done, and just love all that Norse mythology, right? Yep. I mean, you've got Odin, you've got, you know,
going up
Heimdall.
On that rainbow bridge rainbow trip where bridge. You turn into a little yes. ball of light and fly up that thing, and it's just is one of the prettiest things you've ever seen. And even the nature area out there,
right?
Where you got to kill the dog,
chase the lion, yeah,
or the whatever it was.
Isn't he a lion?
I think he's a wolf.
Wolf. Okay.
He's a cheetah, Brian. He's a cheetah.
It's Chester Cheetah we're chasing.
Exactly right. All right. Anyway, so we'll be doing all the things. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support us. Big thanks to everybody who's doing that. We have some rad stuff going out this month. Membership cards and collectible cards and all sorts of cool things if you are on Patreon and supporting us at certain levels. But even if all you want to do is say, look, I got an extra buck a month you guys can have. That's totally cool. We'd love that. And that really helps the show continue to be what it is. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, chat room, for being here live. Thank you, everybody. If you want more, go to frogpants.com/TMS. All the links, the phone numbers, the stuff, the Twitter accounts, it's all there. TheMorningStream@gmail.com. Go there. Be there. Have it. Live it. Stream it. Brian, we're done.
Yes.
Let's get out, but let's do it with music because I don't know any other way.
Well, okay. That's fine with me.
All right.
Yesterday was Ashley's birthday, a.k.a. Jackalope, in the chat room, and I'm going to be breaking the rules for our cover song at the end of the show because I just adore Jackalope. Love seeing her in the chat room and want to honor her birthday in the way it should be honored, by golly. She says, it's my birthday on the 25th, which is a Sunday. I'll be turning 36. Also just became an aunt for the first time. Congratulations to my brother and his fiance. Not a bro, though, signed Ashley. Ashley actually sat through the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. I watched it again with Scott Fletcher at Nerdtacular.
Oh, yeah.
And she sat through that business with us. It's a
real trooper, I'd say.
Real trooper, and actually even helped write some of the best jokes I came up with out on stage when we were doing that. All right, Ashley, she wanted to hear a booty mashup. Gave us a couple that she kind of vetted to make sure there were no swears in it. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Here is System of a Down and Elton John together in Crocodile Chop.
At last, they're together.
At last, together again.
Thank goodness. Here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Come on back. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Nice night for a walk.
Yeah.